Welcome to No BS Bishop, Alive to Love with Bishop Randy Dean. We promise to inspire, challenge, and make you think beyond the ordinary, reaching for a life lived for love alone. Stay tuned for the next 30 minutes and tell your friends to join us every Saturday night at 5:30 and Sunday morning at 9:30 Central Standard Time. And now, here's my husband, Bishop Randy Dean.
Welcome again to the No BS Bishop. I'm Randy Dean. I'm the Bishop of Love. I'm the No BS Bishop. I'm alive to love. All lesser values are potential BS. I am deeply grateful for anyone who chooses to tune in to these episodes of Alive to Love, because I know I challenge you. I know I'm taking you places with the subject of love that maybe no one else has. I am grateful that you've given me the pleasure and the honor of your time. It's a pleasure for me, and it's an honor for me, and I hope it's the same for you, that through these broadcasts, through these times together, that you'll lend me your ear, lend me your heart, lend me your thoughts, that I can take you down some paths of understanding and grasping love in a way that's beyond the ordinary. Because as I say repeatedly, I'm convinced there is one value worth giving all your life for, and that's love. Love alone is credible. Love alone is the beauty for which every human is on the earth searching for. Every human looks for and wants to receive and give love. We were born by love, we were born to love, and we grow through love. Love is really the highest value for which all of us reach all of our days of our life. We do this instinctively on so many levels, and I'm glad for that. I really am. But I believe it's time in human history to take us past our instincts about love. I know that there are millions of people who can relate to the notion that you didn't know you could love your child until that first moment you held your child in your arms. And that's true whether you adopted a child or you gave birth to a child. That moment, that child, the weight of that little life landed in your hands and arms. It was as if everything in you came to full attention and said, "This is love. I love this child, even though I don't know what their personality will be, what their physical traits will be, whether they're going to be the most patient human being ever to be born or not. I just know right now, my instinct says I love this human." Now, take it a step further and know that instincts have to be refined. Instincts have to be refined. We know that's true in our instinct to eat. We know we've got to refine those instincts. We've got to eat well. We've got to eat food that's good for the nutrition of our body. We've got to eat in samples of certain portions and calorie intake so that we are treating ourselves well. Eating's an instinct. But we all know that when we just eat out of instinct, that that's not going to last well. That's not going to go well for us forever. We're going to have to develop something more than instinct. So it is true, and even more so, about love. So last week I began the journey of discussing with you, and I gave you a homework assignment. I hope you were here last time. But if you weren't, here was the homework assignment. I want you to study. I want you to put your thinking cap on. I want you to ponder deeply that there are imperfections of love. Yes, there are. There are imperfections inherent to the pursuit of love. And so last week we started with those seven imperfections, and here's why there are imperfections to love. Listen carefully. The simplicity of love is found in the sheer impossibility of it. Because as soon as we surmise we have a grasp on love, the passionate nature of love itself will always outgrow our hold. The race to grasp love again and again will always draw us forward. It'll never be stationary in one place. Because it's simple. We cannot live without loving or being loved, just as it is impossibly challenging us at every turn. Love challenges us at every turn. The deeper, the more profound your love, the more committed to love you are. You know it's true. It is challenging you at every turn. So It's a bit tongue-in-cheek, but it's also a reality check for us to consider that in the pursuit of love, there are imperfections. And let's just call them for what they are to us as human beings, that love seems to have some imperfections all around it. It isn't like a 2 plus 2 equals 4, and oh my, it's like the multiplication and addition tables. Oh, well, then I can just sit down with a piece of paper and a pencil and write it down, and it'll all fit together. It's never that compact. It's never that formula-driven. It does require thought. It does require exploration. It does require some science. It does require some medication occasionally. Don't start me there. I'm talking to me. It does require more than the average pursuit, because love will seem to be raggedly imperfect as we run for it. Now listen, and by the way, don't run from it. Run for it. Here are the first four imperfections of love out of a list of seven that I started with last week. And here we go. First of all, the first imperfection of love is rejection. Love that is love has the capacity built into it for rejection. That's true of all love. No one's love will ever be without some level, great or small, of rejection. I asked you last week to think about it this way, that God loves the world, and there's no retracting his love. He has always loved, and that means from the beginning of humankind until now and beyond, God so loved the world. That is a truth that will not be rescinded. Now listen, do you know that the most rejected love in all of history, past, present, and future, is the love of God? So if that's true, and it is, then the first imperfection of love is that rejection is always around the corner. It's a shadow. I'm not laughing at you. I'm laughing with you, because we know this is true, but somebody got to say it right out loud, and here I am saying it right out loud. Rejection is the first imperfection of love. The second imperfection of love is that it requires introspection. Oh, I know. You don't want to look too deep inside. You don't want to open some emotional dark closets because, oh my, there's some spooky things in there. Yeah, that's where I hide my monster. That's where I hide my rage. Yeah, well, it's time to open those closets and clean them out. It's time to throw some junk out, because in your introspection, you and I need to learn one of the steps of the 12 steps of Alcoholics Anonymous, and that is that we take a courageous moral inventory. Courageous, not for the sake of self-loathing, not for the sake of self-shaming and beating yourself up. No, 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 1,000 times no. A healthy inventory should lead you to step-by-step look at yourself for truth or lies. Where have you built your life on truth? And where have you built your life on lies? There's always, you know, in the imperfection of love, it will require an introspection as well as rejection. So you could take number one, rejection, and into number two, then introspection. If I've been rejected, is it because I've done everything perfectly? Well, apparently not. Maybe some of my love needed refinement. So there's number two, introspection. Number three, the third imperfection of love is it's never ending. There's no finish line. I know that seems almost self-evident, but I don't know that we realize just how real this never-ending pursuit of love is. It is never ending. It should not stop at death. You know, they say that grief is really the loss of the object of our love. It's the loss of that target of my love. So whether that's a person or a pet, a job, a project, a home, whatever it is, grieving means I lost the object of my love. So it is a never-ending process now to reconstruct an object for my love on some level, somewhere, somehow. So if I'm grieving, which is normal and it's appropriate and healthy, if I'm grieving, it means I've lost the target of my love, and it must be never-ending that I find a new target. So that's one of the seven imperfections of love. So number one, of the imperfections of love, there is rejection. Number two requires introspection. Number three, love is never ending. Number four, now please, 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 as I said last week, and I'm going to say it again, put your thinking cap on. Love hurts. Do you know that? Love hurts. That's not to say love has to be hurtful. Doesn't mean that I should hurt others from love. It means that built into the very nature of love is the potential of hurt. It hurts to love when someone is self-destructive and you love them deeply, but you know they are on a path of self-destruction. You know that if you love a job, for instance, and you've loved that job for any amount of time, that sometimes in the changes that you have no control over, somebody comes along and changes it all. It's like they just needed to mess with the formula. They needed to mess with the proposition that you had set yourself forward in all your life. And then suddenly, bam, the love you had for a job has changed and now it hurts. I got to tell this story. I remember a gentleman that I knew that lived in one place for, oh my gosh, almost three decades. And he had a job with a major company in America, and it was a great job. He loved that job. He loved getting up in the morning. He loved working all hours. He loved the benefits. He loved the purpose of his job. And then after coming up, I think it was about 25, 30 years or so, he suddenly hit a place where all the management of that company changed locally, and they restructured so much of it that he no longer recognized his own job. He no longer could see what he had been doing for all those years that he loved. And then next thing he knew, he was hurting. He was getting up in the morning with pain to go to work. And because of the love he had for that job, now listen very carefully, the love he had for that job, it led him to hurt. But you know what happened? Out of that hurt, he rediscovered a new purpose. He changed his life. He found a new job, found a new purpose, and even late in life discovered something for which he could give himself. Now, I know that I know personally that runs on all the wrong sides of my thinking, but it's true. Love that is love holds the imperfection of hurt within it. Now, I'm going into new territory today, and this is the final three imperfections of the seven imperfections of love. And I need you to keep your thinking cap on with me. Please, please, please don't bail on me, because I know these are the imperfections of love that we all have to live with, work with. And if we are to grow toward a more passionate love every day of our lives, then we have to look at the imperfections for what they are and say, I'm going to love anyway. Number five is this: enemies must be loved. Jesus said, love your enemies. He said, you know, you heard it of old, hate your enemies and love your friends. And he said, now I got a new commandment. It's a whole new way of doing life. It's a whole new way of looking at people. It's a whole new perspective on human beings that we all know. We all have enemies in this life. I would propose to you that the deeper, more significant your love is the potential that you're going to have some enemies. Yeah, love does not guarantee an enemy-free life. Love guarantees that somebody's going to misunderstand the love that you're carrying. And in that misunderstanding, now for the loving person, well, now, guess what? You have a whole new platform of discovery of the imperfection of love. Love demands enemies must be loved. Now, I know that all of us, when we hear that, we think, oh gosh, now I got to go spend all my days in life with this enemy. I've got to go be their best friend. I got to spend a lot of time with them. And I just want to assure you, no, that's not true. I'm not telling you that your enemy is somebody that you've got to go spend all your life with and just tolerate your misery and the pain. But I'm just telling you, though, within yourself, without having to go run to spend all your life with them, I'm telling you, you have to find within yourself the capacity to love your enemy. You see, I know it's true that there are some people in this life, for all of my love, for every means by which I choose to love them, they aren't going to receive it. Remember, the first imperfection of love is that it is rejected. And some of that rejection, some of that rejection is final. That is the choice somebody may have made about you. So in that finality, I cannot afford to spend my life trying to find them again and make them come back in my life. But I do need to find within myself love even for my enemy. So for some people, I will have to love them at a distance. I can choose a boundary. I will love them at a distance because I will manage my love in a way that keeps me safe from the intentional pain they may be seeking to give me. There are some people that I have learned in this life that I will have to love at a distance. And some of my enemies have been so determined to hurt me, so determined to cause me the rejection, the feeling of rejection that they seem to have some joy about. Well, then for that person, my love will remain, but it will remain within the safety of my capacity to open up my heart and be free of cynicism, to be free of unforgiveness, to be free of needing a pound of flesh from my enemy. That's what loving your enemies looks like. It grows you. You know, this is what we're all about in this life, is growing, right? I can recognize, yep, that person is an enemy. This person has been determined to be at odds with me, and I can say with confidence, I know what is happening here, and I know I will love them. I know one thing about that person. I will love them. And no matter what they do with that love, I will love. And I know this, that if they remain determined to hurt me, I will love them at a distance that is safe, that is reasonable, and I'm able to continue to participate in my life without being knocked to the floor every single day. Now, that's probably going to require a mentor or somebody in your life who can tell you the truth, somebody, a counselor, a sponsor for AA. You may have somebody in AA in your life that you call a sponsor and you say, hey, I'm feeling this need to get revenge on this person, and just talk it through with them. Maybe you got to write a letter to this enemy and never mail it, never send it. Just write that letter, get it all out on a piece of paper, and then throw it away or burn it. But know this. Find within yourself, in this imperfection of love, find within yourself the reality check of knowing my enemies must be loved, because it's good for me to grow that way. Love is so passionate, it will not remain static. And when I have an enemy, it is a dare upon my life to grow to that place of love. So in the seven imperfections of love, the first one is rejection. The second one is introspection. The third one is love is never ending. The fourth one is it hurts. And the fifth imperfection of love is that enemies must be loved. And number six should flow right out of number four and five, and that is love weeps. Love cries. Love cries good. You know that some people say I have an ugly cry. Well, I'm kind of one of those people. If you know me at all, you know I refer to myself as I'm a sap. I will cry. And when I cry, I can't talk right. My voice gets all locked down. I snort and I sniffle, and it's never so pretty as me just being able to, you know, reach up with one finger and wipe a tear from my eyes. That's not me. I cry ugly. But I know this. I know love has the full capacity to weep. I weep with those who weep, and if I can't find somebody else to weep with, I'll just weep with myself. I believe, my wife tells people all the time, that tears are a natural painkiller. There's a morphine in our tears that helps to wash the pain. And every now and then, you got to take that pain, that natural painkiller, which is called crying. Weeping may last for the night, but joy will come in the morning. And I know that joy may seem like it's 100 miles away, but there is a morning coming, a sunrise just before you. It's right out there. I promise you it's coming. And when you weep through the night in a healthy way, you will find that joy is even more profound when you've wept in a healthy way. Trust me when I say that the tears of love are the tears of a real, bona fide human being. I refer often in this broadcast to my own childhood experiences and growing. I remember that first rejection from a girlfriend, and I thought the world was over. I couldn't go on. My crying, my tears were real. I just remember thinking, how could she be so foolish and stupid as to reject me? And I just had to cry that out. And the next thing you know, within a matter of days, I remember thinking, oh, well, it's better now. Now, I wish it would all work that fast and that easy, but for my teenage puppy love days, it worked out okay, you know. And it's an example. It's a good practice. That practice though had to be practiced and practiced and practiced. And what I've discovered is I have wept barrels full of tears for oh my goodness, stadiums of people as I've walked through this life. I know that my tears though are the evidence of real love. So when I say love weeps as an imperfection, you know, when you're crying out of love, it sure seems imperfect. It sure seems like, why should I be crying if I love? My answer to that is, love will always cry. Love will always cry. It's not a matter of, why should I be crying if I love? I would say love will always cry. And it'll cry for joy. It'll cry for pain. It'll cry for the receiving of it. And it'll cry for the rejection of it. Tears are the evidence of the depth of your love. Maintain that in your life. And remember what I a moment ago said about my wife's quote to many people. Tears are morphine. Tears are your painkiller. Go ahead. Take a bucket full of tears today and call me in the morning, because you've got to learn to weep and weep well, so that in your grieving over rejection or hurt or enemies that have been determined to just be at odds with you, know that love weeps and love weeps toward a better day. Understand that, please. So I'm coming up on the last of the seven imperfections of love. Here they are in their order. Number one. Imperfection of love is rejection. Number two, imperfection of love is introspection. Number three, the imperfection of love is never ending. You're going to explore all your life. Number four, love does hurt. Number five, enemies must be loved. It digs a deeper hole and a better foundation inside of you for love if you can love your enemies. Number six, love weeps. We just talked about that. Weep through the night if you must, but weep toward joy in the morning. And last but certainly not least of the seven imperfections of love is this. Love says, I'm sorry. Love says, I'm sorry. Whenever it was, there's a song out there, I'm sure you could look it up. A song that said, love means never having to say, I'm sorry. It makes me laugh to say it out loud. That is ridiculous. I'm sorry. I don't know who wrote that song. I don't want to know. Don't send me any emails or contacts. I just know that love always means you're going to say you're sorry. And it means it daily. It means it hourly. It means it minute by minute if you have to. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. But on a serious note, let me just add to you this last imperfection of love, in the seven imperfections of love. I have spoken through the years for dozens of drug and alcohol recovery retreats, and I've given some motivational speeches and just some instructional speeches through the years. But one thing I've learned that is so important in a crowd of people who have suffered through drug or alcohol addictions, whether it's as a direct recipient, a direct victimization of drugs and alcohol and the disease of addiction, or they've been codependent, or they've been trapped in a family system where they've been supportive of somebody or tried to be supportive of somebody in an addiction. One of the things I've discovered that's important to say to groups of people in that challenge is, as a pastor, I have looked people in the eye in whatever size group it is, and I've said, listen to me carefully. As a pastor who represents priests and rabbis and imams and religious mentors of all descriptions, let me just say two words that maybe you've never heard before. Actually, they're three words. Let me just say these words that maybe you've never heard one of us people of faith say, and that is this: I'm sorry. Because we have in the professionals, which is a whole other subject, who have had a calling to be spiritual leaders, we have not always been able to say, I'm sorry. I didn't know your pain well enough to really manage it well. Or I shamed you, or I blamed you, or I created more of a reason for you to stay in the depths of your addiction. I'm sorry. I have discovered that saying I'm sorry to groups of people who fight in addictions has been magical. Honestly, through the years, I could spend the next, I could spend the next day telling you stories of people who've come to me and said, I just never knew people like you could say, I'm sorry. And you know, isn't it ironic that maybe we should have always been the people who could say it the fastest? So love, one of the final imperfection of love is it will always say, I'm sorry. Not because I may recognize that everything that happened between us was wrong, that I did was wrong, but I recognize that my relationship with you is more important than being right. I'm sorry. I'm sorry because my love for you says we've got to get past this moment of stationary misery. Well, there you have it, the seven imperfections of love. I'm Bishop Randy Dean, and I'm coming up on the last few minutes of this broadcast, and I need to do with you one more time these two exercises. First is, the most basic of all human exercises, is breathing well. Slow it down. Slow your life down. Get distractions away from you for one moment with me and just practice breathing well. Breathe deep and all the way into the bottom of both lungs. Are you ready? Go. Breathe in. Hold it.
Thank you for being with us today for this episode of No BS Bishop, Alive to Love with Bishop Randy Dean. Be sure to join us again here next week, Saturday at 5:30 p.m. and Sunday at 9:30 a.m. Central Standard Time. Feel free to contact us with your questions or comments at randydeanministries@gmail.com, and we welcome your financial support at paypal.me/randydeanministries. No BS Bishop is a service of WPCA Radio and Randy Dean Ministries.